like you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord. There is no one like you, Lord.
Very dark place. The garment of praise came, and a sound of heaven was released. And out of that sound came a confidence to release healing, a substance that's from heaven. And that substance was backed up by love. A natural response would have been, I gotta get out of here as fast as possible. This place is horrible. But instead, love came through, and the sound of worship was released, and it changed the atmosphere of an entire place. And it made a way, it made an opening for God to come through. Not only healing happened that day with those five kids, but the goodness of God came so near to them that they saw it with their own eyes. Follow-up's going to happen. But those kids were introduced to the goodness of God because healing came through worship and praise in an atmosphere that it didn't seem like it belonged. And when healing comes in an atmosphere of worship, no matter where you are, people are lifted up and their eyes are taken off their circumstances and they see heaven and they see God for who He really is. And heaven comes near and they can't help but respond to His goodness. We are changing the atmosphere of our whole region. Here in this place and when we go out, In this place, we're taught how to release a prophetic sound out of our mouth and to let the very joy of the Lord pour out of us. And that's what happened that day. The joy of the Lord poured out of my heart. And healing came. And it was by no mistake. It was intentional. I went to change the atmosphere in that place, and the atmosphere changed. And each one of us, because we carry the very presence of God through the Spirit of God, we are atmosphere changers. And we have the very presence of God waiting to be released. Even if it's in a song, even if it's in a sound that comes out of your spirit, it changes the atmosphere. And it makes room for His reward to come through. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah! Yes, yes, Lord! Whoa! Who's got something to shout about? Hi! Oh! Oh! All right! Wow! The enemy is defeated! Oh! Jamie! 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 The Lord says, let your prophetic voice go! What do you have to be shouting about, girl? Hallelujah. Stay up, drum cage. Oh. oh, God, you're good. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh. 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 More, Lord. Hey. Wow. Wow. Yes, Lord. Uh-huh. Well, she can't talk. Lawrence, come up and declare what you have to shout about. When you can talk, that's good. That's all right. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh, like I let Uncle Larry come.
Yes, Lord. Mm. There is a powerful place for us in the kingdom to step into authority where we're able to declare and change destinies. And there's something about stepping into a place where we release a mighty roar from the heavens down to the earth. So we're going to release a mighty roar, but we're going to release it from a place of heaven. So we're going to roar down onto the earth. So on the count of three, I want everybody to give the greatest shout that they can from inside their spirit and release it down into the earth. One, two, three,
we roared down, shall I tell him? Because that's what a lion does. A lion roars into the earth, and then the sound reverberates everywhere because the lion is the king of the jungle. Ha! Oh. Hey. Oh, Lord, you're doing something. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Wow. We'll follow your lead wherever you go, Lamb of God. Oh, isn't it fun to be declaring from a place of victory? Who feels that they have the right to declare from a place of victory? Every hand should be up if you know Jesus Christ. Put your hand up high that you can declare from a place of victory. It's not about you. It's not about your walk. It's not about your stumblings or your fallings or your temptations. Not about that. It's about Him. So let me ask the question again. Who feels they can declare from a place of victory? Put your hand in the air. All right. That's much better. Thank you. All right. So we declare, Jamie, we declare. Now that you can talk. Jesus. So this is our opportunity to say, no matter what I feel, no matter what I think, no matter what my agenda is telling me right now, no matter what's driving me on the inside, I want to dare to be counted and dare to be standing in right now. So just let's come up forward right now as much as possible. Just come up forward as an army coming in and saying, this is a love war. I declare a love war right now. A release of your love. A release of your love. I'm warring for your love. I'm warring for your love.
I am a love warrior. I am a love warrior.
Declare your love to the earth. I am a love warrior. I am a love warrior. I am a love warrior. Release your love. Declare your love to the earth.
Your love to the earth.
I will fight. I will fight
for your love. I will fight for your love. I will stand for your love. I will stand for your love. I will stand for your love. I will shout for your love. I will shout for your love. I will shout for your love. To release your love, to declare your love to the earth. I am a love warrior. I am a love warrior. I will stand on my inheritance. I am a love warrior. I am a love warrior.
To release your love, to declare your love to the earth.
I just want to read a few verses right here while we're declaring that we're love warriors. Just listen with your heart. Just listen, not just your ears. Listen with your heart. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, verse 3 says this, for consider him who has endured much hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and so that you will not lose heart. Consider Jesus. This word says, consider the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts, the great and mighty warrior. Consider him. All ages in here, consider Jesus. I want to read it to you out of the Message. Listen to this one. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. I love it. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into our souls. That's what we've been doing this morning. It's spiritual adrenaline into our souls, which is really the peace and the release of our Heavenly King. Just saying, you got it. You got it. Your praises have unlocked a new level for you. Your worship has brought my attention to your home. And your home is in your heart. And I really believe that there has been a shift. And God wants that personal shift for each one of us along with the corporate shift. Sometimes we think, well, everybody has to line up and then God will do something. Our God is doing something as we're lining up with the shift that he's bringing. But we have to respond. So I believe that the Lord's going to give us, our worship team, something so that we have an opportunity to continue to lift his name and respond. He's fully aware of what we feel and think, as I said earlier. He fully understands. But nevertheless, he says, keep your eyes on me, the author and perfecter of your faith. For this shame set before me and all the despising, I endured the cross and overcame it. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he says in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's no little thing. That's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And for that, we are grateful, oh God. Oh. But let's take note that anything that easily hinders us, or maybe not so easily, anything that entangles us, any besetting thing, we're going to say, I give it to you. I release it to you. It's already in your court. You take it because I soar in those heavenly places. Yes, Lord. So, Father, we're just thanking you right now as we continue to sing. Wow. The Lord says that exhilarating place that he has for us is for all of us. Let's just close our eyes. Close our eyes. Wow. Holy Spirit, come right now. You are here right now. Make yourself known right now. Oh God, this is our time to respond. Will we or won't we? Will we or won't we? Oh, maybe later. Maybe tomorrow. I have to think about it. I don't think so. The Lord is saying, I'm calling for a response to who I am and what I've released. Healing is for now. Forgiveness is for now. Deliverance is for now. The release of captivity is for now. The spotlight of heaven is on your heart. The King of Glory is speaking to you. And no one is out of his eyesight. So if that's you, just raise your hand. You can close your eyes. If that's you, oh God, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing from heaven, but I need your help. I'm hearing you, but I need your help. I need your help. I'm not feeling like I can, but oh, I want to. With everything inside of me, Lord God, everything's crying out. I want my spirit to rise above my mind, above my will, above my emotions. I think the cost is great, but it's no cost compared to you. It's no cost compared to knowing and loving and being led by you. Oh Lord, take a blinders off my eyes that I may respond to this simple heart of the King of Glory. I'm telling you, the Lord will do it for you. He will do it right now. Right now. Right now. Father, I just release a wave of deliverance right now. A wave of deliverance over this house in the name of Jesus Christ. That every besetting thing, Father God, every trauma, every trial, everything that we have stepped into in the area of lust, in fornication, in idolatry, in rebellion, and even in witchcraft, and even in being torn and our attention has not been on you. Father, wherever there's been the distraction, wherever there's been the deceit, Father, the wave of healing and deliverance right now comes through this house from you. Oh God, do it. Do it. Do it, Holy One. Do it. We give it up. See yourself releasing it. Lord, I declare you, I release myself to you. I release myself fully to you. I release everything. I hold nothing back. I don't hold anything inside. I don't want my way any longer. I want your way. I want you. I want you right now. I release myself into your care. Yes, Lord. Wherever my fears have been, Father, they've been surfacing. Oh, God, I release those fears to you. I can't stop fear. I can't stop fear. Your power through me can. So now with me, saints, those who know Jesus, we're going to declare a war on fear. So I want you to repeat after me, Father, in Jesus' name. Fear cannot stay deep inside of me. Even in the sides, even in the front, even in the back. Fear takes different forms. And I want to be free of all fear. So now I take authority. I command fear to leave me. Let it come out of your mouth. I command fear to leave me right now in the name of Jesus. Get out of my life. Get out of my house. Get out of my world. I want to be free, and I declare it today. I receive it today. I will not be governed by fear. I will be governed by your love. I will be overwhelmed by your love. Because fear is an intruder. Fear is an imposter. And you died. And you rose. And you eradicated fear. So now my eyes are on you. The author and perfecter of my faith. And I consider you. I consider you as my Lord, my King, my salvation, my healer, my deliverer. I thank you, Lord, that I am a person of courage. I am a person of faith. And those voices are silenced within. In the name of Jesus. And now I say, yes, Lord, to your way. Yes, Lord, to your plan. Going for it. And nothing will stop me. In Jesus' name. Let's give a shout for victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your healing and deliverance, Lord. Oh, let the party continue. Thank you, Lord. Shut up. is increasing here. Your glory surrounds your presence, Lord. Father, we thank you for the invasion into your throne room. We thank you, Lord, for the release into your place. We thank you, Lord, that that veil has been torn and that we're connecting with you in the heavenly places. We're experiencing you in the heavenly places. This is where healing occurs. This is where deliverance occurs. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance release. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that you're bringing to the physical bodies right now. Thank you for the release of healing. Oh, let the winds blow for the release of healing. Pressure from your job, pressure from your school, pressure from home life, pressure from the children, pressure from family. Just see yourself releasing that. Just see yourself doing that. Just releasing that. Just release that in the glory realm. And now grab hold of what belongs to you. Just grab hold of that peace and receive that peace. Sometimes it's easy to believe a lie that says it doesn't work, I've tried it. Because the enemy's job is to beat us down. The enemy's job is to try to render us weary, as I was reading. But there is no weariness in the kingdom of God. Can you say that over and over? There is no weariness in the kingdom of God. Let's repeat it. There is no weariness in the kingdom of God. There is no weariness in the kingdom of God. There is no weariness in the kingdom of God. So, Father, we just thank you that your kingdom comes right now into the bodies and minds and wills and emotions to refresh, to encourage, to uplift as we release the pressure and we let go of it. Thank you, Lord. That will not be our portion. Thank you, Lord, for the physical healings that are taking place right now. Thank you, Lord, because of your glory, everything changes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
awesome in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for everything. Father, may the burn in our hearts just continue. Just go to a new place, a new level. Because that burn comes from you, Lord. We cannot make ourselves hungry, and we cannot burn ourselves up. So thank you, Lord, that that burn and that hunger is increased today. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just so good, Lord. Just release the kids to Kingdom Land right now for maybe a shorter time. We're going to share a few things in here and then continue to see what God wants to do with this, with his meeting. And just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, it's God amazing. He's so amazing. You know, when you follow his lead, it may look a little different than you think. How many of us want to follow the lead of the Spirit of God? Amen. And believe it or not, our children will catch on to it. Maybe kicking and screaming, but they will. Because they're being raised. They're being raised in the presence. And it's not always easy. Sometimes love is messy. Remember when you're wives gave birth, you husbands. A little messy. For some. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for directing our footsteps. Thank you for directing our paths. Oh, God. You know, we've had an amazing weekend here. It's been mission training weekend, and it's kind of interesting, our second mission training weekend for 2011. And it's been very interesting just to watch how the Lord has moved again, the schedule and the people, all of us together, and it's just been really fun, very humbling. And I just really, really believe that God has done something new and refreshing. And that may not excite you if you've not been part of it. It's like, great, have a good time. But we're all the recipients of whatever the Lord unleashes and unlocks. And he's been unlocking and unleashing great and mighty things since Friday here that have affected all of us who've been here. And I don't even know how many. Is it 20? 20-something? 19? Yay, God. A lot of things have happened. So to tell you about them and be like, uh-huh, because you didn't experience them. So I understand that. I've been on the other end going, uh-huh. And the Lord told me to be excited, but, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard. But I do want to draw your attention back to Hebrews. Can you just flip to Hebrews again? The Lord just put that on my heart to give that scripture during this fun time up front. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. So much fun. And I read to you the message. What I'd like to do is read to you also in the Amplified. And now that you're seated, you have your Bibles there. Unless some of you were just amazing, you're up here dancing and shaking and rolling with your Bibles. Cool. If you can do that, show me how. So, anyway, now you have your Bibles and turn, as I said, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Could I have that water, honey, that was in your little thing there? Yeah, that'd be good. Thank you. Why, thank you. What a good husband. He loves me. Thank you, sweetheart. Oh. You want to become physically fit? Come to Frontline. I'm telling you. Take a look at our wonderful bodies. Oops. But really, a little shaking and dancing is, I think God's really smart. He knows what to do. You know, he's got principles in the Bible for good health and longevity. And he tells us to worship him with everything inside. I think he's pretty wise, you know, as far as moving our limbs and such. So feel free to jump in anytime. It's a whole lot of fun. Oh, my goodness. Very invigorating. All right. Back to Hebrews 12. Serious business here. Hebrews 12, Amplified. I just love this. Okay. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth. Now, since we have these cloud of witnesses who have gone before us and they have borne testimony to the truth, as a result of that, there's something that we need to do. There's a reason the Lord is saying that. Obviously, it follows Hebrews 11, the Great Hall of Fame chapter and all of that. But the Lord is telling us there are those who really have, there's a cloud. A cloud is something that, for our understanding, is up in the sky, obviously, keeps forming and changing. That's a new thought. Keep forming and changing, and they're different kinds, just like the great cloud of witnesses, many, many different witnesses. Witnesses in so many different ways. Witnesses that have experienced and encountered the goodness of God. They have experienced God, but they look different. Not just their bodies, different shapes, sizes, colors, etc. But their experiences have been different. However, all who have encountered and are part of the great cloud of witnesses, all have seen the one who changes not. The one who remains the same. The one who is incapable of changing. The one who is the bright morning star. Great Father of us all, the Spirit of God, who is changeless, even though his ways are ever changing, because he can do what he wants. But he changes not. That's amazing to me. He is our rock. He is the one who is so established on the inside of us as we give credence to that establishment. It doesn't change that he's established, but as we give credence to that establishment, we come into agreement with who he is in us. That person is so solid, so secure, so unchanging that the great cloud of witnesses who have encountered him in different ways have still encountered the same God. That's mind-boggling. Think about it. Think about that for just a moment. We're only in verse 1, half of it. Think about that. First few words. But think on that for just the next 20, 30, 50 years. Think about the one who changes not. And think how he's described here as we continue on in Hebrews 12. I just love this. Three simple verses. Easy. Easy reading. But oh so packed. Yay. Good word, God. Let us strip off as a result then, since we are surrounded. Now this is what really intrigues me. All right. Since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses who've encountered God, because of that, we're going to strip off what and why? Just because they're watching? Just because we're surrounded? Just because there are people who have gone before us? What is that telling us? How many times have we skipped over this verse, this part of the verse, and gone, yep, great cloud of witnesses, whatever that means. Okay, now I've got a strip. But it doesn't say that. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. So, there is necessary weight. Where is Beth? Is she in here? Where are you, Bethy? Okay. Weight is good. There is certain weight that is good. You're not carrying a lot of weight. I'm not saying that. But when you're, no. She's like looking at me with fear in her eyes. Like, I was jumping. I'm sure I'm okay. No, I mean, she's an athlete. She's a swimmer. And many of you know that. Maybe you don't. But you do weight training. Yeah, and you've got, come here, you just got, we're going to compare. This is vulnerability. Come here, baby. Okay, ready? My right arm. I just can't, yeah. Thank you. I can't even hold. I can't. I mean, I try, but not so hard. But this woman, I mean, she swims and whatever, and, you know, in the whatever, she's lifting weights and building, correct? And so weight is good. Right? Some weight is good. Some weight is not so good. Don't we know? And the Lord says, get rid of it. Any kind of weight. Physical. Spiritual, mental, emotional weight. It's unnecessary. That means anything that's going to hold us down. And you know what we humans do, all of us? We look in the mirror and we see and we go, oh, that weight. Oh, yeah, I need to do something about that. But that becomes sometimes more important even than some of the other weight. But there's another side of weight that's really good, and that's the weightiness, the manifest presence, the weightiness of the glory of God. Oh, wow. God says, my power, my presence, my weightiness is so good. It could take you out and flatten you first. But the weight of God, the power of God, if you've experienced his weightiness where you can't move, it's like, I got it.
I really got it.
There were a few people last night who were experiencing some pretty heavy-duty weight of God. I saw things that made me laugh a lot. Some of them I won't even share. But some of the things that I did see, I will share and just a little bit. And that is, you know, some of those going overseas were so overwhelmed by the power and the goodness of God that the weightiness of God came upon them. But that came after a contending. We were contending. You are God. You will not change. You are an amazing God. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the author and finisher of my faith. You are the great I am. You are the bread of life. Just look up at the signs if we don't know what to say. It's right here. But it was rising up from the inside. And we were declaring to the north. And the Lord showed up. On top of who the Lord is inside of us. Rising up over our will, over our mind, over our emotions, over our bodies. So it's like, all right, so what's that got to do with anything? I'm reading here. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who've borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off, I don't want to miss that word, and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and there's two things here, not just one, and the sin which so readily... Okay, now listen to this one. I love the word readily. Okay, this is the amplified version that says deftly. I love that word. It's so good. If you don't know it, it's deftly. It's a good word. Deftly, yes. And cleverly. The sin that so readily, a.k.a. deftly and cleverly, clings to and entangles us. Clings to and entangles us. So we need to do something about it. It says, let us strip off because we're surrounded. Therefore, since we are surrounded or as we are surrounded. But since is a very important word in these versions in the Bible. Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. I read it. Did you hear it in the back? I did. You couldn't hear it in the back. We need to get mics or something in the back so these guys who are on the drums in glory can hear. But yeah, I actually did, but thanks, hon. I read the message. This is really good. It says, no extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's really good, but you see, when you're one, you're one. You just think alike. It's the same spirit together, coming together. But thank you, love. That's really good. It's really, really good. No, really, seriously, sound people, we do need help back here to be able to hear some of those things because I know my husband pays attention. So anyway, Hebrews 12. Okay, let's get serious. I can't. It's so... Oh my. Okay. Those who have gone before us have borne testimony to the truth. That's what's really significant here as well. So in other words, they have encountered this God and, now hear this, their testimony that they have released and now fully, once they're with the King of Kings, they're in heavenly realm, they have it all. And yet they're still surrounding us. That's amazing concept. Think about this. We are surrounded by grandstands after grandstands after grandstands after stadiums by such a great cloud of witness who are testifying. And the fact that they have gone before us means that there is an inheritance that they have left us. That's what this is referring to. There's an inheritance that we get because they went. We receive because they've encountered. We are the recipients of because they have toiled, labored, made mistakes, gone through life, pressed through, battened in, and they've lived all these thousands of years. And now here we are in the last day. Oh my, in the seventh day. We are in the last day. 6,000 years is gone. We're in the seventh day, if you will. Don't worry about creation, evolution, all that. We are in the beginning of the end. We are the ones who are going to see Jesus in come back, and we're believing whatever that means. In this generation, as we all jump on board and say yes to the Lord, could it be? Yes, it could be. And that's what we're crying for, to bring the future into the present right now. And the Lord's giving us hope right now through this verse saying, hey, they went before you. They paved the way. Now, what are you going to do with it? What will you do with it? I can just see them jumping in heaven. What will you do with what we have done and what we have been released into? What will you do with the inheritance that's been deposited? It has come from my throne. It is given to you. What will you do with it? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, began and ended everything. And these guys got it in part, and then they got to be with him, and they got it all. And they're still surrounding us. And the word testimony means do it again. Yeah. I love that. Do you love that? I know you know this because we've preached it here so many times. It's like, I've heard that. Good. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do in my child what you did 3 years ago when I kept demons and the demons left my child. I mean, things like that, you know. Demons can afflict little people. I don't like it, but they do. So we do something about it because we can. We move in line with what God is doing. And when he gives us something, we don't just go... We can say, we're going to do what you say, how you say, and how you do it. We can do these things because we can. And those inheritances that come to us from what the Lord has done belong to us fully. These people have paid a big price. But the one who has enabled us to be able to receive the inheritance that comes to us has paid a bigger price. Jesus' price, so much greater. Oh, great news, isn't it? It's just wonderful. Can you just get excited with me? I am. Whoa. Okay then. Let us strip off. Now when you strip down. Oh, this is really, I mean, come on. All right. Let's use a shower example. Okay. You're really tired, you know, and you've worked hard in the garden or whatever makes you tired. I don't know. And you're working. It's like, oh, I just want to take a shower. I mean, we all take showers. So just don't even think about the person next to you. Don't do that. Okay. Let me think about that. So. But, oh, what was that? What'd you say? It was Dylan. No, I know him. He always says something and it's this real quiet voice, but it's kind of like a cha-ching. So I know him. So, but anyway, to have some fun with it. Honestly, we obviously strip down, but then there's another way. Stripping down, okay? You run into a field with a lot of burrs, and you've got, you know, you fall into a trap. It's like, oh no! Oh, where? I didn't see all those burrs, and I've got burrs from head to toe. Ah, and I've got to go in and get my clothes off because they're hurting me. Oh my gosh! In the house we go, and we're gonna strip those babies off really quickly. So there's different levels of stripping. Of releasing? How quickly do we want to be stripped of these things? That's fun, isn't it? Just a thought. Strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight. And what did we say? The message said it was really good. Parasitic sins. Oh my gosh. Ooh, you know what parasites do? They hide. They hide. Parasites hide and they reproduce. I don't like it. They're just insidious little vermins. And they're inside, and the Lord wants us to be cleansed of parasites on the inside of our body that would cause us harm. And they like to go. It's like, oh, they're onto it. They're going after something in their foot. So I'm going to go in their lymph nodes or something. You know, parasites, I don't know how that works. Josh does. But parasites invade the body. And we don't like those things because they, you know, they eat away. They eat away. They eat away. And they weaken us so that we can't really run that race. We can't really do what we're supposed to do. We're really not very fit. And they're hidden and very dangerous and deadly. So I love the word parasitic for this place here. That's good. The sin so easily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run. It sounds like a little fun. Okay, kids, let us run now. It's like after you strip all this stuff off, let us run. It's really hard to run when you're carrying these parasites or these unhealthy weights in any respect, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. The Lord is looking at the whole person. He's very holistic for us. He's all about us. He doesn't want us to tire out because we're carrying too much weight. In any respect. He really doesn't. He's saying, I've got a job for you to do. You're in the army now. So I want you to finish well. I'm not looking at your age. I want you to do well. And I'm going to be right with you. I know what I've asked you to do. I know what I've got for you in store for you. And it's all good. It's all so amazing. It's so much fun. And anything that just makes us feel bad when we hear good news like this is something inside of us that's hiding, probably parasitic. And the enemy says, you know, shh, be quiet, shut her up. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Love this passage. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence. Patient endurance, steady, active persistence. Now, how many of you have actually heard a message dealing with runners and being in good shape and all of that before? Put your hand up in the air. Okay. How many of you, don't answer this one, how many of you have been so affected that it has changed your life forever? You don't have to raise your hand up. That's good, though. I'm glad. Do you know that God gives us these examples in Scripture that are real-life examples for all of us, so that we can embrace what someone else has done? So I tell you about Mission Training Weekend, and you're like, that's okay, you weren't here. Like, well, I guess it was good. I felt something fun today. But I tell you, the great cloud of witnesses who cheer us on have experienced the glory of God in fullness. And I believe that the Scripture is telling us that he's saying that this is a significant part of who you are, so that you can think about the inheritance that has come from the hand of Jesus Christ to us, birthed and born through blood, sweat, and tears of a lot of people. Many times people who have gone before you and your families, your spiritual family as well. Wherever the inheritance lies, what we want to do is grab it and take it. Because if we don't take it and receive it, it does us no good. Even if it exists, it's not rendering what it can render to us, which is a change, an upgrade, always something positive. Jesus is positive. He's positively positive. He's not Debbie Downer. He's not a girl. But I'd use Debbie Downer for just kind of the negativity and all that. You know, he's not like that. He is so happy and so positive and so joyful and so peaceful. I want to become like him. That's the desire in my heart. And there's so many areas I'm seeing that's like, all right, great, we'll strip away however those ways can be. I embrace that. I embrace that. I embrace that. This is wonderful. There must be something good that's coming as I read on. Something even better is coming. It's not just about I got to run the race. I know before I was even filled with the Spirit, I heard a message about this thinking, okay, I got to run. I got to do it. I can run. All right, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God, and realized, oh my gosh, this race has changed. The endurance is coming. This is a whole lot easier than before. So everything inside of me changed. And I had to look at everything else around me with new eyes because the Spirit of God was released through me. And now my spirit and his spirit together are rising. And now there's victory that's coming in my life. Wow. More and more and more. And it's not for me trying to make and try to work it up. Prayer is good. Third heaven intercession is better. You know what that means? We can pray for one another. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, this is great. And I'm not faulting that because this is what I do. And it's scriptural. But also, third heaven intercession is better. And that's where I prefer to hang out. And that is in the third heaven. We are here in our little zone that we can look at each other and go, isn't this special? Then there's another zone, another realm. And that's where the enemy has some kind of rule and reign, he thinks, temporarily. And then there's the third heaven. And that's where all the cool things happen. And the Lord says, if you believe that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if you really believe that, then you can live there, hang there, and work from there. You can live there. That's where the victory comes. That's why when I first said, and I don't know who raised their hands or not, I was just looking at hands. But when I first said, hey, who believes in here that we can have victory from heaven above coming down? Because, just because. Only a few hands because our stuff gets in the way. But it doesn't have anything to do with us. It has everything to do with the fact that we have the privilege of living in that third heaven realm 24/7. Oh, great. Now she's telling me I have to do something. No, I'm saying that the Lord is more concerned about our becoming than doing. And in our becoming, the doing will happen. Now, we know that. I believe that's not brand new. Maybe for a few who are newer to Frontline. But I believe there's a newness to it that the Lord wants us to embrace today that will help us take this passage of Scripture and just soar. I just really believe, I just know it. I believe it. He's going to do something very special for us today. So what we're going to do is recognize that there's a possibility that sin can easily, deftly, and cleverly cling to and entangle us, and we must recognize it. And as we let go of that and strip it off, any unnecessary weight, then we can run. Then we can run. And we do it together. It's not as though, all right, get me completely clean and then I can run. We do it as we go. As we go. A word that Ann heard from the Father, wherever you are, Ann, for our last mission trip. Thank you. Going to Indonesia, India, and then onto Singapore, which we didn't know about. And she kept hearing the word, as you go, as you go, as you go. It's like, wow, what a good, simple word, as you go. But you think about what that means. As you go. What? Thanks. What's that mean? Thanks, Anne. As you go. What did that tell me? A lot. But think about that. That's the same word for all of us. As we go. As we go, as we walk. As we go. As we go. As we go, these things are falling off. As we go, we're running with endurance. We're running. We're being captured by the love of God. The arms of God are tightening around us because he steadies us in the midst of it. He upholds us. He lifts us and he keeps us. All he's looking for is a response. He say, you respond, the hole gets tighter. This is the way it works. But he still holds us. Oops, as we fall. But I'd rather have him hold me. So I'm not falling. That's what my preference would be. I don't know about you. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord. Let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. If we don't know or care that there's an appointed race, the rest of this, you might as well just go home. We can end this right now. But if we do care that there's a race and it's appointed for us, that we will actively be persistent, steady, and the endurance will come, and it will be there. It's a done deal. Word of God says so. That's the way it is. But we have choices, and the Lord will say, our minds, where our unbelief will kick in, going, that was really nice. I feel a little bit better. Maybe we're right on the edge of the breakthrough, just right on the edge of something that's going to take us into the fast lane of that endurance running, I should say, the race. Just keep pushing through that. Don't stop when it gets really rough or tough. Don't stop. Yeah, but I tried that and it doesn't work and it doesn't work and it doesn't work. It does work. because Jesus works. So therefore, there's something else amiss. We may need each other. We may need some help. We may need to take some steps, and God really wants to help us with that. And so that's a good thing, because he is, we'll see why in just a moment, because he talks very clearly about himself. I love it. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract. Looking away. That means that we have to do something. We have to look away. But we can't look away if we don't know what the distraction is. Not new thought, but it's just interesting how it's right in here. It's a tip. It's kind of like we're running and we've got a runner. We've got somebody on the sidelines going, look away. Look away. Because this thing that's looking at you and me is not looking away. This thing that's looking at you and me is looking and doing more than looking. So we need to look away. Where do we look? The girl over in the corner? Or the guy? No. You want to look away from whatever that might be that could be something not from God. Look away, and then the scripture tells us where to look. It's not that hard. It feels like it inside, because the very thing that holds us is screaming, going, don't look away, don't look away, don't look away. But the Holy Spirit's always breathing, saying, I'm here. I'm with you. I sustain you. That's why I live inside. I will hold you. Your Father loves you. I came so that Jesus could be glorified. I came so the Father's love could be released through me to you, through Jesus, through me to you, because he's your high priest. He's your intercessor. It's okay, honey. This is so wonderful. Holy Spirit's so loving and kind. When we feel like we just can't take it anymore, he's saying, just give up. It's really all right. It's a good way to give up. This is giving up good. I like this kind of giving up. It's okay. That's the sweet voice of the Spirit of God. He doesn't whack us over the head. Although, well, we'll just keep going. When his manifest glory comes, it feels like a whack. I thought Bethany had a supernatural head. I never saw contortions like I did last night. It was something like, she should be in a carnival. This is amazing. How does she do these things? It's like her head doesn't hurt. This is just different. It's called the glory of God. But it was the Lord. It was very fun. But there was a point to that weirdness. Okay? As she walked in some of this, there was a point. Whether you do that or you don't do that, that's not the point. But the point is, when she was experiencing something last night, the Lord had a plan. And we went into incredible intercession for the nations. Great things were released. It was amazing what God did. A lot of breakthrough. So God's very smart. He knows what he's doing. And he likes to keep us in shape. Let's just finish this. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source, giving the first incentive for our benefit. That's beautiful. For our belief, sorry. Giving the first incentive for our belief. And is also its finisher. So he is the source, and he's the finisher. He's going to bring it to maturity and perfection. So he's going to be the first one right there by his Spirit to say, I'm with you, and I'm not leaving you. And he's also the one who's taking us right to the finish line. That is so amazing, and that should provide us with so much confidence when we're stepping out of maybe a zone that we need to do so that we can step into another place, another zone. Sometimes we think our life is just fine. I was at a leaders conference with Pastor Bill, and Bob Jones was there, and here's what he said. He was talking about the different years, 2009, 10, and 11, and he said, any of you pastors, full-time ministers, pastors, if you had a really good year in 2009, you need to repent. I thought, yes! Oh, good! That was a rough one. It was a good rough one. But we were in the hospital, you know, the death thing and all of that. And so that was a challenge. But the Lord moved through that challenge. We don't forget that. We cannot forget those days. We forget what, we don't want to forget what the Lord has done through those days. We don't want to forget what the great cloud of witness releases to us by them being and by them going forward and by the inheritance that is given to us from Jesus and also has been released as a result. He will bring it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, call yourself a prize, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. He despised the sin. He despised it. He despised everything. He despised it. Think of the word despicable. Think of despising something. I despise that ant on the ground or whatever it would be. Okay? I despise that. The Lord takes us to a point of actually despising sin. I mean, where it's just like, it's more than just saying, you know, it's like oil and water. You've got God and you've got the devil and they don't mix. Uh-uh. Sin has to be despised. And when we get to a place as we're running this race of despising the fact that we're distracted during high worship, let's say, as we look back and go, huh, that didn't really trigger my heart. Wonder what's going on. You see? If we're worshiping and the Lord's just cranking it up, it's not because we have such wonderful vocalists and guitarists and other ists up here alone. I mean, they're great. But it's because the Lord is showing up. And if that is not rocking our world, there's something else going on. And that's not me, you know, saying, it's just the way it is. Because there's an environment of heaven that's been released. And the Lord is saying, where are you in that environment of heaven? So we need to do a little check. Say, what's going on? Lord, I need to find out if there's anything that's coming towards me to keep me from that. Because I'm the prize of Jesus. Call yourself a prize. Look at someone next to you and say, I am a prize. I am a prize. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're the prize of Jesus? That's amazing. So much fun. It's fun to preach. Okay. Alrighty then. So, despicable. I like that word, despicable. Just, you know. What's that phrase? What did you say, Andrew? Andrew and Dan, where are you? Where's Dan? Is he here? Oh, you're right there. Mark's in the middle. Oh, great. Okay. All right. So you came up this morning and you were testifying. I mean, these guys got lit up last night and it was pretty funny. Fun to watch. But they come up and they say, oh, it's beastly good. It's like, what? What was the other thing you said? Beastly good. It's like, beastly awesome. Okay, what was the other thing? Sick nasty. Yeah, that's my world. That's not the kind of despicable I'm talking about here. So, so fun. That was great. That's awesome. Anyway, so we want really to declare in our lives, sin is just, I need to figure out what is sin. And then it needs to become despicable. I need to despise it like Jesus, because Jesus despised it in my own life. Not the person. You know, the sin. There's a difference. So you can have fun looking at these words going, ah, despicable, with a smile. Yeah. I remember Dylan was speaking over, Andrew, come here. You were just so funny. Come here. You guys, come here. Come here. No, they're not going to fall down and do crazy things. This is just, you know. Bethany, can you close that door real quick? All right, you guys. I'm not going to embarrass you. Simon says, no, I'm not going to do that. Okay, just turn around. You can just look at these guys. All right. Are you ready? All right, that's good. You're waiting for something really good, aren't you? So, you know, the seriousness, if you guys can share. I already gave you the beastly stuff. I gave them that. Just share what you shared this morning with what Dylan spoke over you too with his big smile.
Very serious. Well, he just spoke some things over us about how we need to take hold of it, things that are coming in the future, and that's not light. It's not something that we can mess around with, that we need to just, if we're going to go for it, to actually just do it and plug through and, yeah.
The thing that he said that really, like, stuck out to me was he just looked at me really intently and said, you know, God is serious, and he says take this seriously with a smile. You know, he's smiling when he says it, but he's serious. He means take this time and season seriously, because it's a time of transition, and you know, in my life personally, and I believe, you know, in this body as well. So,
Beasley.
Thanks, guys. All right, that was really cool. All right. And do you love the fact that Jesus endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame? Just imagine what that would have been like. And now he's seated as a result of that at the right hand at the throne of God. Now think about that. The highest place. The highest place. The author and finisher of our faith, the ruler over all principalities, rulers and wickedness of darkness in high places, total ruler, totally in control, totally got this down, as he ran this race and did it well without stumbling. It's like, whoa, is it possible? And the Lord is saying, just keep your eyes on me. That's what I'm asking from you. And then to sum it all up, just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself, which means reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials. Consider Jesus in comparison with what we're going through. That will bring us up, and that will bring us out. That will change us. That will completely move things around. Consider Jesus. Not just ask him for help, but consider this passage of Scripture. Consider Jesus. Consider what that means. Fix our eyes on things above. Set our heart and mind and fix our eyes on things above. That's the mandate. And as we do that, you know, we may bumble through some things, but the Lord's going to see that bumbling, and he's going to say, you know what, they really care. They really want me. They really love me. But they are really willing to let the sin go, whatever that might look like. They're willing to do that. And they're going to despise sin, get to that place. And I'm going to bring that up inside of them so that they truly will more and more. And the reason that he wants this is because he knows it makes us so much happier and joyful. And so we can invite his presence, and he will come, and he will increase, and he will magnify. And it will be nothing but increase, upgrade, promotion. That's amazing. Increase, upgrade, and promotion in the middle of a trial? Absolutely. You have to have a reason for a trial. Just to go through a trial stinks. Hello, I don't like it. I'm in. It's amazing. I said this already to the team, but Josh prophesied over the teams on Friday and prophesied over PB and I and said, this is the best year you guys have ever had. And there's so much more coming. I just love that. And we got home and said, is this the best year? Why, it surely is. It's been a really great year, but it is filled with challenges. But, there's always a but. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured, he despised the shame, and he endured the cross. He is amazing. He's the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. Your faith and my faith. And no matter what, we are climbing. We are ascending. Think of yourselves as a heavenly upgrade. You don't get an upgrade. You are an upgrade. The Lord says, think of yourself. Look at yourself. Tell someone else, I'm an upgrade. I'm an upgrade. I am an upgrade. You know what that means? That means I'm higher. I'm going higher. I am an upgrade. It's not just I have, but this is who I am. I'm an upgrade. Figure that one out, Samantha. Grammatically. Thank you, Jesus. But consider that. Consider Jesus, so that we may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. Well, that might be where some of us have been this week. And that's what we felt today. The Spirit of God was saying, oh, my kids, they're feeling this. Wow, I want to visit them so much and help them through that, so that they will not stay in the last verse here, in the last part of the last verse. Please don't stay there. But when you're there, I'm on it. Just turn to me. I know what to do. But don't stay there. That's the good news from the scripture today, I believe. So that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. He says, I don't want this to happen to you. He's not saying it has to. By the way, you've got trials. And in those trials, let me just tell you, here's part of a trial. Okay, this is it. This is God talking. Okay, he says, you're going to get weary. You're going to become exhausted, and you'll lose heart and probably faint in your mind. That's okay, isn't it? No. He gives us a way out. See that? Think on these things this week. Father, we just bless your name today. We thank you, Lord, for this word from you. We thank you that we are encouraged and strengthened, Lord, to be able to feast on just a few verses, tear them apart, and see what you're telling us. We praise you for the inheritance today. We thank you, Lord God, that we will reach out and we will take hold of the meat that has been released today. We thank you, Lord God, that we are choosing to respond right now. If you are with your eyes closed, I don't want to see your hand. With your eyes closed, though, just concentrate on the words that have been released from these scriptures right now. Just concentrate. Think of these words. Think of what has been released. Think of them. And just tell the Lord, count me in. Count me in. This is my response. My response is yes. Yes. In every way. Yes. I am agreeing with your way. I'm agreeing with your process. I'm agreeing with you in heaven. I am in full agreement with you. Therefore, you are opening my eyes for these things to take place as I run that race with endurance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the maturity and for the perfection that you promise us in this house. May it never end. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be encouraged today. Be strengthened. Oh, happy day. The first song at 10, almost 10:30. Oh, happy day. He's washed my sin away. We can go home and sing it. Keep singing that. Oh, happy day. I think we should start every, well, I don't be religious about this, but I just love that song. Oh, happy day. He's washed my sin away. If he's washed my sin away, I have to despise anything that would come back. I want to say one thing that I'm hearing from the Lord, I believe. I didn't give a list of what sin is to God, during our message today, my message to you. But suffice it to say that when we run after him, he starts speaking to us and we hear him. Like that signaler along the side where the traps are. And he will let us know what sin really is so that we can despise. But we can talk to him about that. You can read your Bible and see, but you can talk to him and say, Lord, what is it exactly that you're trying to speak to me so that I'm not hindered in any way?